Now, we're doing a series of summer psalms, and this psalm seems appropriate because a title for this psalm is the Traveler Psalm, as the Lord discusses our going out and coming in. And of course, this weekend is the highlight of travel. People are coming and going. But the subject is, the Lord is thy keeper, from verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. Interesting word. And in verse 7, the word is changed from keep to preserve. So that catches your interest to say to the author, to the Holy Spirit, why would you change the wording from keeper to preserve? So in researching that and finding out why, there is really no difference in the terms, because they both refer to a military garrison, a guard that keeps us, which the Lord is doing. The Lord is thy keeper in that he is our shepherd. And he speaks to us in Philippians that he will keep our hearts and minds in Christ. And in 1 Peter, we're told that our salvation is kept by the power of God, which speaks of eternal security for the believer. So let's look at several ways God's keeping is portrayed in this psalm. First of all, in verse 8, the Lord shall preserve or keep your going out and your coming in. So what we learn here is that God's keeping is unlimited geographically, which speaks of his great attribute of omnipresence. So God is all over this world this morning by the power of his omnipresence, and he is able to work with the problems in Iraq as Hussein has the troops capturing a Kurdish town, which causes our troops to be on alert and may readily involve us in a war. God is there. God is everywhere in China, as China is equipping other nations with nuclear powers, and God knows that. In our own country, we are in the midst of a very critical time in an election. God is here. God goes with us. He shall preserve your going out and your coming in. Isn't that awesome? When you travel, do you ever pray before you go on a trip? Do you ever thank God when you pull in the driveway? Yes, he shall preserve it. What a wonderful thing is that in God's marvelous plan, that he prepared to be with us in that way by his Spirit and by the angel of the Lord who encamps around about those who fear him. And so it's a marvelous thing that as God looked down through history, that he planned to be with us on the freeway and going through certain areas. And I'm always glad when we get over the ridge route.
Past Gorman.
One time we started out from here at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we got to Bakersfield by 9 o'clock that night because we kept overheating, breaking down. And one time a hitchhiking guy in a pickup took us to the next gas station. And then we had to call for a tow truck. And, I took it to several garages, service stations, couldn't fix it. said, go on. So we went on, and I would go about 5 miles and boil over again. Couldn't get it fixed. So by 9 o'clock that night, we got to Bakersfield and got in a motel. But we finally got up to Faye's mother's place an hour or so past Bakersfield. And nobody could detect what happened when I got home. One of the mechanics I went to said it was a blown head gasket. Didn't you just have that problem, Sean? Or was it something else?
Yeah, I think, no, it was the...
something like that. Anyway, now when Gorman is right at the top of the ridge route, have you ever seen, you know where Gorman is? You know, right at the top. And so when we go to Gorman, I like to wave goodbye and sail right on through. So we did that. The Lord is unlimited geographically. And sometimes we get concerned if a loved one is going somewhere in a different part of the country. And he goes to Russia and other trips, and parents and other people have a concern, rightly so. But to let that become panic is a sinful thing, because God can protect us anywhere. And when Tim told us he's looking at intercrystal things, one of them is in Africa. Well, immediately a thought comes, I wish he'd find some other place. But God can protect him there even better than where he is. So let's be thankful for this. God's keeping is unlimited geographically. Secondly, we learn that God's keeping is unceasing and perpetual. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. And he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And then in verse 8 he said, his keeping is from this time forth and even forevermore. God's keeping is unceasing. And the psalmist talks about slumber and sleep. Well, slumbering is sort of the idea when you're sitting on the couch and you're not quite with it, you can't really go to a deep sleep, you can't get up, but you're slumbering. Has anybody here never slumbered? Well, we know what that means, and we know what sleeping means. God is always totally alert. God is always totally knowing what we're doing, and is actively a part of it. An interesting thing to read, let me recommend it to you, is 1 Kings chapter 18. It's about Elijah at the time of King Ahab and Jezebel. And Jezebel is a wicked queen, and she has 450 prophets of her own foreign gods. So there's a time when it comes to a showdown between Elijah's God, the God of Israel, and Jezebel's gods. And so there's a contest to see who's God. And so they gather at the top of Mount Carmel, and Elijah makes a suggestion: build an altar, put trenches around it. You call on your God, and I'll call on mine. The God who sends fire will be the true God, and that the people will know who is the real Lord. So Elijah invites them to go first. And so they go into their rites and their rituals, and they're dancing, and they do this for hours and hours, and nothing happens. And Elijah chides them, and he says, perhaps your God is asleep. Yell a little louder. Perhaps your God is on vacation. So they give up. Elijah prays a simple prayer, Lord, reveal yourself. And he says, before he prayed, he said, fill the trenches with water. Now this is significant because there's a drought. They've had no water. And to waste what little water they had by pouring it in the trenches, they could have slaughtered him. And he says, do it a second time. Do it a third time. Then he prays, Lord, reveal yourself. The fire comes and burns up the sacrifice on the altar. And the commandment comes, slay the prophets of Jezebel. And they do it. They slaughter all of them. And Jezebel and Ahab escape at that time. But it's a wonderful thing to know that their gods couldn't answer. But the God of Elijah is unceasingly alert. The Lord is your keeper, and he never stops, morning, noon, or night. What a wonderful, comforting thing. And then we understand that it's perpetual. That is, forevermore. God is not going to get tired after 99 years, or after 1,000 years, or after 1,000,000 years, or however long you live here on this earth. The Lord is not going to stop being your keeper. What a great thing. The Lord is your keeper. A third thing indicated here is that the Lord is powerfully adequate. He is adequate to be your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. Now, the word itself is a strong indication of the adequacy of job of God to do the, quote, the job he's taken on. God took this upon himself to be our keeper. It wasn't because we asked him, and it wasn't because we planned it. It's because he planned it before you and I were ever born to be our keeper. And what we need to learn from this is that God is enough. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we studied the names of God in the Old Testament. And one of them was El Shaddai. And the meaning of that is that God is sufficient. That is, he is adequate. He is enough. If you have the Lord as your keeper, then don't play around looking for other people or other means or other ways of doing it, because it's a blast in his face. Just trust him. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And no matter what trial or what enemy we have here on earth, the Lord's keeping power is adequate for us. He's enough. And fourthly, the psalmist indicates here that God's keeping is directed personally. Verse 5, the Lord is your or King James, thy keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now here is the thing about Christianity. We are a part of the body of Christ, but every one of us are in that body individually. God's election is individual. God did not make a mass decision of election. It's person by person, individual by individual. Not a race, not a group, not according to riches, not according to social status, not according to gender, not according to physical appearance, but by his own self, made that decision of whom he would save, and he chose you to be a believer. And he chose, and he is your keeper, and he is my keeper personally. And regardless of what kind of family you come from, whether you have Christian parents or non-Christian parents, you and I deal with God personally. And we have the privilege of access to him in prayer, no matter where we are, unceasing and perpetual, and know that God deals with us personally. Now, another thing that the psalmist indicates here is that God's keeping is spiritually protected. Verse 7. The Lord shall preserve you or guard you or keep you from all evil. He shall preserve or keep or guard your soul. What does that mean? It means eternal security. It means that you and I would never, ever persevere as a Christian on our own. Every day we would lose our salvation. Maybe every hour. Or maybe every 5 minutes something comes. And if it was up to us to be justified and sanctified and acceptable to God, we'd never make it. So God has chosen to keep us and protect us from all evil. Now that does not mean that we live perfectly. There is allowance for weakness, sin, and fault. But it means that God does not allow us to completely fall away from him, or that we lose our faith, or that evil dominates our life. He is spiritually protected. What a great thing that is. I don't know about you, but I know for me, I need this. I need God to protect me spiritually, to keep me from the evil of this world, and for the evil of my own heart and the people around me. And then finally, God's keeping is vitally necessary. Psalmist said, I'll look unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. As a new Christian and reading this psalm, I never understood verses 1 and 2. Until a great professor I had at Bible school taught this song. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, statement, period. Now, when we read this morning in the hymnal, it was stated, where does my help come from? Question mark. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, statement. Where does my help come from? Question mark. Now the psalmist, knowing grammar, didn't put it that way because you cannot end a sentence with a preposition. Where does my help come from is incorrect grammar. So the psalmist stated it, from whence cometh my help? And that's correct. And he's making a difference. Now, what about this looking up to the hills? The nations around them who worshiped the gods, the heathen gods, the pagan gods, the foreign gods, built their altars up on the top of the hills in groves. And that's where they went to worship. So David makes this statement, I'll look to the hills. But where does my help come from? They think they're getting help up there in their paganism. But where does my help come from? Or from whence cometh my help? Well, he answers it. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Very significant statement. Now, what he is confessing is that he needs help. We all need help. We're not going to make it on our own. We need God. We need the Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need each other. And the Lord sends us human help. But our help comes from Him. God's keeping is vitally necessary. Now, any Christian who does not agree with this and does not see the necessity of God's keeping in this psalm has a problem with pride. If you and I think we're going to do it on our own, forget it. We need God's help. We need to humbly, constantly live before Him, trusting Him and asking for His help, and then using it as He gives it to us. This is a traveler's psalm. The theme is God's keeping. Geographically unlimited, unceasing and perpetual, powerfully adequate, directed personally, spiritually protective, and vitally necessary. Dear Lord God Almighty, we pray together this morning that the Holy Spirit will visit each of us now and communicate the truth that each of us need individually this morning regarding Your keeping power. And visit us so powerfully that we will be relieved of fear, that we will be guarded against panic, that we will be protected from looking to people or things for our keeping and guarding, and that we will confess our deep need for You to be our keeper. Lord, make this psalm uplifting and comforting and powerfully effective in our lives today, tomorrow, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.